Welcome to the daily VFN radio highlights at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
It is time. It is time for the citizenship game. Oh my goodness. You know, we've been doing this. There's several questions and 100 questions actually for the U.S. citizenship test. And this is the test you have to take to become an American citizen. We're finding out as we are giving it to ourselves that we might not know these questions, answer these questions. And it's so important. I mean, how can we hold people to accountable to what we don't even know? And when you hear people thinking, hey, you know, I want to be able to be an American citizen, ask them these questions, you know. And I truly believe, you know, talk to your congressman, talk to your senator and ask them, could you pass this test? Could your staff pass this test? And do you bear fruit in keeping with these answers? You know, and it's so important because we got to get back to the original intent. There's something going on, and the supreme law of the land is the U.S. Constitution, and we have to know this. And so we have a lot of fun with it, and but it's just like it's big, too. It's like, my goodness, we're learning. We're kind of using each question for a teachable moment if it is. But here we are, the U.S. Citizenship Test, 5 questions for today. And I'm going to ask first Pat a question, then I'm going to ask John a question. And you got to make sure now that you, when you say you're ready to give the answer, that that is your final answer. And of course, if you get it right, everybody is going to celebrate it. And if you get it wrong, here's the first question. First question is going to Pat. Question on the U.S. citizenship test. If both the president and the vice president can no longer serve, who becomes president? If the president and the vice president can no longer serve, who becomes the president? Right, that was quick. Oh my goodness, this study is doing good, man. It's like, man, it's making us pretty pay close attention. So here's the question for citizenship, so you don't have to self-deport, according to the GOP. If both the president and the vice president could no longer serve, Pat, who becomes the president?
That would be the Speaker of the House.
Oh my goodness, whoa, that's good. Oh wow, totally good. That's so important because, you know, the Speaker of the House right now, okay, this is the next part. Who's the Speaker of the House?
Boehner.
Very good. Oh, my goodness. Ooh. Yeah, right. Who's your senator? Right.
Mark Rubio.
Wow,
he's
good.
Yeah.
I'll Google that, man.
And that means then John Boehner is third in line for the presidency of the United States. It means that who was the Speaker of the House before John Boehner?
Nancy Pelosi
was third in line for the president of the United States. And, you know, I got to be honest with you, when, you know, not staying on top of this, I don't even remember being taught this in school, but when you're watching politicians, sometimes you have a tendency to bring them all into one category, not realizing, well, no, this particular group of politicians are representing one branch of government. And this particular politician is using another branch of government. And, you know what I'm saying? You got to see them differently because they're different. And it looked in history quite often, you would say, you know, what are you doing? You know, Congress, you're just messing things up. You know, the House of Representatives, why you're bringing all this not knowing, that's what you start thinking.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're just putting a stick in my wheel. You know, you're breaking one of my spokes. You're causing it. You know, the thing is, no, they're representing their districts.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to listen to the House of Representatives. And this is how important the House of Representatives are, is whoever they choose to be the leader. And it, what happens is you have Republicans, Democrats, and Independents. Hopefully, you know, that we'll have more parties in the future because the two-party system will be part of the stake that's driven into the heart of this nation and will kill it. But and what they do is whoever has, if they're the majority of Democrats, or if there's a majority of Republicans in the House of Representatives, they'll be the ones in charge. Mm-hmm. They'll be in charge, and they themselves choose a speaker from, I think, seniority pretty much is how they do it. But they can unchoose them, too. Mm-hmm. They can fire a speaker and switch to somebody else. And so that's a very important body. You know, Congress is very important, even so much so that the Speaker of the House, so whoever the majority is in Congress, in the House of Representatives, they will actually choose a speaker, but what they're really choosing is the third in line for presidency.
Mm-hmm. And it's so important because, think about it, it's just, you know, two heartbeats away, but you have the president, the vice president, and then you actually have the speaker, and it changes. I mean, if anything would have happened, we said before, you know, prior to when Nancy Pelosi was the Speaker of the House, she would have been the first female president.
And now, President Nancy Pelosi. Understanding that is just like we need to pay attention because they're picking third in line for presidency when they're picking the Speaker of the House.
Huge.
The third in line for presidency. So it's pretty relevant. So we want to remember that when you're thinking about the House of Representatives, not Senate, but when you think about the House of Representatives, mm-hmm. Congress is both the House of Representatives and the Senate. But when you talk about them individually, it'd be the Senate and it would be the House of Representatives. So now here is question number two. And this question is going to go to John. John, here's the question on the U.S. citizenship test, and Immigration Services, by the way, gives it, is important so that you don't have to self-deport, as we're talking about. Oh. Who is, think about this, who is the commander-in-chief of the military? Who is the commander-in-chief of the U.S. military? Oh, here it is. For the citizenship test, your next particular question is, who is the commander-in-chief of the U.S. military?
What is the president of the United States?
Hey, you got it. Very good. So that means that President Obama is over the U.S. military. This is why when I said it concerns me that when the president says we want to have so many spies now, in the Pentagon that dwarfs, a different word than he used, dwarfs CIA and the number of spies they have.
Mm-hmm.
Because what you're saying is that I want to be the commander-in-chief of a whole bunch of spies.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because Congress is over the CIA, but the president is commander-in-chief over the military.
Mm-hmm.
And so putting that kind of power under one branch versus one person,
mm-hmm.
versus all these different people in Congress. Sure. They have all these different voices that kind of help bring, you know, balance. It's supposed to be difficult to be able to maneuver this country. It's designed that it's a long, tedious process. So somebody says, we just need to push something through. Mm-hmm. It's like, we're not designed that way,
mm-hmm.
you know. And things that have been pushed through, we always end up regretting, such as the health care bill. They read it and it didn't read it.
Didn't.
But they voted it, exactly. And they openly said we didn't read it, which means they violated their very oath of office,
mm-hmm.
To be able to do that. And so when you're talking about the commander-in-chief of U.S. forces, so when you hear something such as two military men have been killed, along with the U.S. ambassador in Benghazi, it's right to question the president, the commander-in-chief of the military. Why did this happen? How come there wasn't any protection for him there? And, I mean, it's 9/11. Dear God, mm-hmm. it's 9/11. Mm-hmm. I mean, that would be the day that you would have somebody there. So you don't go to Congress and find out why don't they have somebody there. You go to the commander-in-chief of the U.S. military, and you ask him, you know, why wasn't there military support right there? Congress would ask the Secretary of State, who's over that as well, and she would have to report to Congress themselves because those cabinet offices, I won't say too much because I'll give away the test. In the context of that. So the president is commander-in-chief of the U.S. military, and so he has direct implementation of his desires over the forces. That's why he says, I'm going to bring some troops home from Iraq mm-hmm. or from Afghanistan, or I'm not. And he can't blame it on anybody if he's the commander-in-chief.
Mm-hmm.
He's the one responsible for that. Okay, the next question goes to Pat. for the U.S. citizenship test, who signs bills? Who signs bills to become laws? All right.
Okay.
Pat. For the next question, here it is. Mm-hmm. Who signs bills to become laws?
The president.
Yay! Yay! Very, very good. It's interesting that we're talking about, it almost seems like today that we're seeing the president, the executive branch, create laws called policies, and he signs them, and nobody else had anything. One man's creating these, they don't call them laws, they call them regulations that actually have, you know, consequences, financial consequences and freedom consequences and property consequences for Americans. But Congress is supposed to make the laws, and the executive branch, the president, is supposed to sign the laws. And when he signs the law, that they become in power, they become, you know, an act of, it goes from a bill to a law.
Mm-hmm.
You know, of course, a bill is just that, is an, it's a people starts off and you say, you know, I'd like to be able to have a park, a federal park in our state. They put it together. They present it to Congress. Congress sets up committees. They talk about it, you know, whatever. They listen to citizens about it. And they decide, hey, we're going to make this a bill. We're going to make a bill for a park in their state. And so they put it together and they vote on it. And all of the House representatives majority says, yeah, this is, we want a park in, you know, whatever state, New Jersey or whatever you're in. Then it goes to the Senate and it starts all over again. And the Senate takes it to committees and they begin to discuss it. And they want to bring in citizens and they can totally not vote for it or vote for it. And then they actually say they get together and they vote, a majority of the senators vote for the bill, but it's still a bill.
Mm-hmm.
And once it goes to the president, that's when it moves from a bill to a law. When he signs it, which is very, very important. John, here's the next question on the U.S. citizenship test. Who vetoes bills? Who vetoes bills? Well, that's great. Here you go. The citizenship test, John. To prevent self-deportation, who vetoes bills?
That would be the president.
Yeah, the president, exactly. Which is pretty powerful when you think about it. You know, when you hear that all of the House representatives got together through committees and they put together all these desires and this bill together, they voted, a majority voted for it. Then it goes to the Senate, and the Senate does the very same thing. They get their committees, and they go through it, and they all vote for it. And that there's such equal powers between the executive branch and the legislature branch that one man, the president of the United States, can decide that it's not what he wants or he thinks his constituents wants, and he can actually veto it and say, nope, I'm not going to make it a law. That's the power of the executive branch.
Wow.
But what's more powerful than that is there's an executive branch that makes all these regulations mm-hmm. that are just like laws, and everybody brings Congress into it. And we don't want that. We want the government that's been set up by our founding fathers, and that's what the Constitution does. It sets up the government, its powers, limited powers, and all that. And that we want a large group of Americans that are diverse, that are together thinking this thing through, and we want them to struggle. We don't want one man. We don't want a king. We want a president and a legislative branch and a judiciary branch like we have. And also, there's one trivial thing here as well that. The president, if the president doesn't want to veto it, he doesn't want that on his record where he vetoed or stopped something, how many days, this is not one of the questions on the test, so either one of you guys can answer this, how many days, I mean, how can that bill become a law without the president signing it into law or the president vetoing and stopping? How can it become a law? Buzz in at any time. that you buzzing in, John?
No, that's not me buzzing in.
Was that you buzzing in, Pat?
That wasn't me.
That, he just lets it stay on his desk for like 10 days. If it stays on his desk for 10 days and he doesn't do anything, it automatically becomes a law. Isn't that amazing?
Interesting.
Yeah, so he doesn't have this veto thing on him. He didn't sign it into law, but it automatically becomes a law.
Mm.
Pretty interesting, isn't it?
Pretty interesting.
Wow. Pretty powerful office then. Here's the last question. The last question's going to...
me.
Me being Pat. Okay, here's the question. The final question for today on the citizenship test is, what does the president's cabinet do? What does the president's cabinet do? Oh, this is wonderful. Here we are. The last question for today on the citizenship test for Pat, so you don't have to self-deport, is what does the president's cabinet do?
They give him advice.
Oh, very good.
Very good.
Yes, yes. They advise the president. And there's a wisdom in a multitude of counsel, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And his choices, a particular president's choice of who they're going to surround themselves with is important, because that's where they're going to get advice. No particular one man knows everything, and so they're going to bring these people who have expertise in these different areas, supposedly,
mm-hmm.
that are going to advise you, and because ultimately you as the president have to make a choice and a decision. The buck stops with you. At least it did with Harry Truman.
Right.
It stops with everybody but you, with some particular presidents. But so that's it. The this totally ends today's citizenship test. You've been listening to us attempt to learn and to grow and say, you know what, we need to learn these things. If we haven't learned them, if we have learned them and forgot them, we need to know what the original intent was for our country and what citizens or people who are actually immigrants who are desiring to be citizens, what they have to do.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the Daily VFN Radio program. Don't forget to share them with your friends. Find more and listen to the Daily VFN Radio program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or with the mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com.